going to call this meeting of the Legislative Council to order. Today is Monday, January 17th. It is 8:07 a.m. We have before us an agenda that is slightly reordered, and let me just affirm so that all the members and on the record, we recessed on Thursday with some technical difficulties. The clock ran out on a recess, so we are a new meeting. So you'll have a little bit of deja vu as we put some motions before us because we need to put them back onto the record. With that, do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
We need to do a roll call.
Oh, excuse me. Roll call. Thank you, Vice Chair. Roll call.
Representative Clayman.
Here.
Representative Edgman.
Here.
Representative Foster.
Here.
Speaker Stoops.
Here.
Representative Tilton.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senate President Michikee.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Hughes. Senator Schauer. Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Chair Hammond.
Here.
13 members present.
Thank you. And can we get that mic turned up? Because we could barely hear her. And when there is a vote call, I want to make sure. But I'm not sure if you're in charge of that mic or Alex. Thank you. And we do have Alex Bibi Judith Che, who is with us from the LAA, to help us with our teleconference and volume in the room. With that, do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Any objection? Motion to approve. That brings us to the first item on our agenda today, which is an executive session. So.
Is it all the way down here?
Yes.
Okay, I thought we were going to. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1, discussion of matters with the immediate knowledge which would adversely affect the finances of the government, and Unit 22B3, discussion of matter that may by law be required to be confidential. The following individuals may remain in the room or online for the executive session: Jessica Geary, Sante Lesh, Megan Wallace, Emily Nauman, Hillary Martin, Marie Marks, Linda Bruce, Helen Phillips, Jody Murdoch, Bree Wiley, any legislators not on Legislative Council, and any staff of Legislative Council members, in addition to Kevin Cuddy and Shannon Easterly.
And with that, we will, okay, and Alex, everyone who is currently online is allowed to stay online for the executive session. We're going to take a brief at ease. Legislative Council back to order. We have been in executive session. We will have a roll call to establish a quorum. Ms. Keith will go ahead and call the roll, please.
Representative Clayman.
Here.
Representative Edgman.
Here.
Representative Foster.
Here.
Speaker Stoops.
Here.
Representative Tilton. Representative Tuck.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senate President Michikee.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Chair Hammond.
Here.
12, excuse me, and Representative Tilton is
here.
Joined. We have 13 members present.
13 members present. We have a quorum. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for us?
I move that under the power conferred under Alaska Statute 24.20.060-4F, Legislative Council file an amicus brief on behalf of the legislature in legal matters concerning the sweep of the Higher Education Investment Fund into the Constitutional Budget Reserve, and that the Legislative Council authorize the chair to give direction to Legal Services Division and outside counsel regarding this briefing. I further move that Legislative Council approve the contract with Stoll Reeves LLP for legal services to prepare and file any amicus brief in legal matters concerning the sweep of the Higher Education Fund into the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund.
That is the motion before us. Is there discussion of the committee? Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think this action just shows the support that the legislature has for Alaska students and the realization that this could put them in real jeopardy, that they would not know from year to year whether the funds would be available. It would have to come through the legislative process to put those funds back in. And you know, when you think about our students, many of our students actually, Representative Clayman brought up, or maybe Representative Edgeman, the medical students are on long-term program, and for them not to know from year to year how they're going to be supported would be quite devastating. So thank you for this motion.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd just like to note that since FY12, when this fund was created, until the current administration, it was not on the sweepable list, and it was not an issue. And we operated in good faith going forward since then on this issue. It wasn't until this current administration reinterpreted the sweep after their legislation to liquidate this program failed in the legislature. So I support this action, Madam Chair.
Representative Edgeman.
Yeah, and I think it's also advisable just to put on the record that even though the reverse sweep failed, the supermajority three-quarters reverse sweep vote failed in the legislature, the record does show that the majority of the legislature still supported the reverse sweep going forward.
Other members? Seeing no hands, are we ready for a vote? Ms. Kiesel, go ahead and call the vote.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Can you repeat that vote, please?
No.
Yes. No. I apologize. Could you just repeat that one more time?
Sure. No.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
12 yeas, one nay.
With 12 yeas and one nay, the motion has passed. All right. That brings us to our next item, which is a review of our COVID-19 mitigation policy. This is the part where we're going to see some deja vu. We need to bring this policy back before us with a motion, and we need to place it back before us for discussion as our recess went long enough that meeting expired, and we want to return to where we were. So we're going to do a little ad lib. We did not have this scripted exactly. And it is my understanding from leadership that we have a hard stop at 10 a.m. when we lose a lot of members of this committee to another meeting. So with that,
should we do the motion that I did last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I move to make masks available but optional in the legislature.
All right. So this is with regard to our COVID-19 mitigation policy that is before us. I was looking for Megan, our parliamentarian, to make sure she wasn't shaking her head that we needed more, but I can't see her because she's on teleconference. So, Megan. Okay. So, we have our mitigation policy before us. The motion from Senator Reinbold that we had eventually been in the midst of debating was making that first section of our policy, item number one, optional. And we had had substantial debate on that. So other members who had not spoken or need to reprise, or are we ready? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd oppose that amendment. It just seems to me this is the wrong time when you see what's happening in the nation. And at a later date, this may be appropriate as things progress, but it looks like Alaska's always on the tail end of these as it moves across the country. We may have not reached the high point here, so it seems like it's just absolutely the wrong time to do this. Let's consider it later if necessary. You know, I'd just like to point out that I was talking to our the Beacon folks who were here last year, and talking to one of the young fellows who was here last year and is now here doing the testing when I took my test on Saturday. He said it was really, really remarkable. He thought that none of the people who were hired by Beacon, and maybe a dozen of them, were here doing testing for us. None of them contracted COVID while they were working with all of us in a position where they could have contracted it quite easily, it would seem. And he attributed it to the fact that they were all wearing masks and did it properly. So this is just the wrong time to do this. Maybe later if things change, but not now.
Speaker Stutz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a clarifying question, and that is, does this amendment apply to just people working in this building, or does this amendment apply to the public as well?
Did you want, Ms. Geary? Would you?
Good morning, Madam Chair. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director of Legislative Affairs. I think that would be for the maker of the motion to clarify intent. It's not clear as the motion was stated.
Senator Reinbold.
So I'm going to say that I have looked into the other state employees, and to the best of my knowledge, there's no mask mandates anywhere. So I think that's a really important point to make, because if we're having the legislative state employees and us that are state, you know, wear masks, then are we putting the other state employees at greater risk? What kind of signal are we putting to other state employees? So I think that's very, very important. I did confirm that with a very high-level official in the administration. In regards to the building, I personally think legislative policy applies to legislatures and legislative staff. In regards to the public input, I don't believe that they're being told to PCR test and all that kind of thing. So, you know, that's why I had the motion together originally, is the PCR tests need to be available but not mandated, as the masks should be available but not mandated. So those choosing, you know, to do it, I think is important. But I will tell you, most of the people, I believe, are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, or have had COVID. And so I think this is overkill. This is over the top. I absolutely don't see the necessity at this time. So my preference would be that in regards to legislative council, we're typically dealing with the legislator and legislative staff.
Follow up, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you.
Speaker Stutz. So, Senator Reinbold, are you saying that it would apply to the public as well?
I just said the preference would be the legislature and the legislative staff is what we are dealing with, legislative policy.
Thank you. I didn't
catch that. Okay.
So I wasn't sure. I just wanted to be clear on that.
Representative Klayman.
This is either a question for Ms. Geary or for Megan Wallace. As I read the current policy, face coverings, and it says face coverings, masks are required in all legislative facilities regardless of vaccination status. That is not limited to the legislature or our employees. That applies to the public as well. Do you read it the same way as to the current policy?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, that's correct. That's how it currently reads.
So it does apply to the public?
It does. Anyone within legislative facilities with the way it is currently written.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You know, my concern is the current status sweeping the country and even here in Juneau and Anchorage. And I would have to agree with Senator Stevens. I'm a little reluctant to be changing the policy at this time. We certainly will be in the building working 121 days or maybe a couple days short of that, and we can convene the committee at any time to change the structure when and if the risk of the legislature and the public and our employees is diminished from today. I don't support this amendment, and I would like to see us just vote.
Speaker, Representative Tuck and then Speaker Stutz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not a big fan of math, just as everybody know. We have to take mitigating factors, though. And one of the things that I think we should all be celebrating is being able to open up the Capitol to the public. Public has been, I don't want to say disengaged, but just has not been able to be as involved as they have been in the past as a result of COVID. And it was a relief last year when we finally were able to remove our masks and be able to operate in our committees and on the floor. However, with this new Omicron that's coming around, it has been shown as being very contagious, although mild. But then we got to look at what's going to happen to our session if we ended up with such an outbreak. And I'm not as, you know, I made it through COVID this last October, but it's not to say that that if Omicron does hit pretty hard here at the Capitol, that many of our staff and many of our legislators are going to be probably crippled from doing their business. So it's a kind of a balanced approach that I'm looking at. One of the things I do prefer, and I've made this very clear in the past, is testing. And the reason why I appreciate the testing is that's the reason why we were able to remove the mask in the first place. However, with opening up the Capitol to the public, it's going to be very difficult to be able to test cost-wise and just logistics-wise anyone that enters into the building. I kind of saw testing at the last session. You know, I made the motion to table it because I wasn't sure how much occupancy we were going to have in the Capitol at that time because we really did not, you know, it didn't look like much was going to happen, in my opinion, and as a result, not much did happen. But looking at that, I mean, I look at trying to only test the legislature and not testing the general public is trying to put a heater outside when it's cold outside, trying to heat up the atmosphere. You got a big hole. You got a big leak. There's just no way you can be able to do that.
Little point of order. I think you're going there anyway.
Representative Tuck, right now, if we could constrain our comments and dialogue to the portion of the policy on masking.
Sure.
We had split those.
But the reason why I bring that up is because I think we're kind of taking it out of order. I'd rather they have a decision on testing first because that determines what our masking policy is. As I expressed earlier, it was because of the testing of the legislature that we were eventually able to not have to wear masks coming in. So with that, because we are in the order that we're in right now, I will be supporting mandatory masks until a later date.
All right. Speaker Stutz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is for Jessica, just so I'm clear in my own mind. The way the amendment reads, and according to our existing policy, if it is a voluntary mask policy, then that would apply to the public as well. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Speaker Stutz, that's correct. That would apply to anyone within the Capitol.
Madam Chair.
Follow up?
I guess my comment would be that's very concerning to me, and I cannot support that amendment. Thank you.
Representative Klayman.
And Madam Chair, I don't support this amendment. It's easy for us as legislators. We take risks that our staff is not asked to. Somebody says, come to this meeting with me, and I may go to meetings that I might not want to tell my staff they have to go to. And I think part of our job as legislators is to actually protect our staff. And when I think about how do I best protect the staff in my office and the staff throughout this building, it's be respectful. And if there's three staff members that want us to wear masks, we all ought to be wearing masks from my perspective. So I don't support this motion.
Madam. Representative Tilton and then Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support having optional masking because I do want to keep open to the public. I think that's one of our most important things here is that keeping the building open to Alaskans because this is Alaskan's building. But when you come in, you think about masking. Even the largest municipalities in the state of Alaska have repealed their mandates. There are smaller populations that do have masking. They have masking in some of the highest levels of vaccination, and they're still at the highest levels of COVID and Omicron. So I don't know that there is solid proof that masking stops that from happening. Even downstairs on our bulletin boards, there's a poster that says, wash your hands, social distance, and stay home. Those posters are approved by the rules chairs. There's stamps on them, and those are the things that we know. Using personal responsibility when you don't feel well, when you're sick, you should, and you have symptoms, that would be a time to stay away from the building and a time maybe to test. So as far as the masks themselves, they inhibit our ability to communicate with each other. We know that. And there isn't proof that the masks actually stop the spread of the virus.
Senator Machicki.
Yeah, I call for the question, Madam Chair. For anyone that has questions, they can watch the last meeting. This has been debated in detail. And they can understand other people's logic that have spoke at the previous meeting.
All right. Ms. Kiesel, will you call the vote on the motion on optional masking?
Representative Klayman.
No.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Speaker Stoops.
No.
Speaker Stoops, was that no?
No.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
No.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Senate President Machicki.
Pass.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Senator Stedman.
No.
Senator Stevens.
No.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hammond.
No.
Madam, I would like to vote at this time.
Please call for Senator Machicki. He'd like to vote.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
11 yeas, 2 nays.
No. I wish.
Apologies.
3 yeas.
10 nays, 3 yeas.
And with 3 yeas and 10 nays, the motion has failed. Senator Machicki.
Yeah, I move that cycle testing, so I guess in the words, it would just change the word must to may. On page 1 of 2 in the first line of cycle testing screening, and then I'd like to speak to it.
Okay. The motion would be on line 1 under the cycle testing bullet point 3,
after legislative staff, legislators' legislative change must to May is the motion.
Yes. And I think I explained my vote on the other issue largely just the way we operate here. I don't disagree with any of your votes, and I'm glad we drew that for gosh sake. But in this case, I have spoken to hospitals. I know how the schools are operating. I think folks should have the option to test. And if they choose not to, they choose not to. I think certain things make sense, but even in the hospitals, what they're doing is self-screening or screening at the door. So what I'm looking to do is save some pretty substantial funding as we go forward. If we end up having additional problems here in the building, we could reevaluate this and we reevaluate the masking later if either the numbers go up or down. But I don't think we need to talk about it forever. It's simply going from kind of the honor system to a voluntary testing system.
Representative Tuck?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And masks, in my opinion, are tied to this testing, so I don't want to be out of order again. But I feel much better that, I mean, it's a huge cost to be able to having to do the testing. We all realize that. I don't see the need that I need to test every day if I am, or in the cycle, rather, if I am just coming to work, going home, coming to work, going home. If I'm traveling, then you bet I'm going to test. And I'll just share my story with everyone here. When I left, it was a Tuesday. I don't remember what the date was, but I came down for a floor session just for the day. I tested at the airport. Left that evening because we were only here for the day. I started feeling symptoms Thursday night. Told my friend I was out visiting Big Lake. I got to head home because I'm feeling symptoms and I'm feeling achy. I got my test results the following, the next day. I was a Thursday night, the next day on a Friday. And so I think that shows that the responsibility, because I knew I was traveling a lot throughout Alaska, so I went ahead and volunteered tests. I do trust my colleagues. I do trust my staff and other people's staff that we will be testing when it's required and when it's necessary. At this time, because I do feel confident that we're all now wearing masks, that I don't think it's as necessary to do, and we're not going to be able to test the public, that I would like to support the motion to make it a may rather than a must. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have a little different view. But what's currently going on, I think it's still a little too early to relax our standards. I don't think it's any big issue or request to be tested every 4 days. Came in yesterday and did it. No big thing. I'm not as concerned about the funds that we have to pay for the testing to ensure the safety of our employees in the building as I'm concerned about us getting our job done and getting it done on time. So, again, I'd be more interested in reviewing the subject matter in the near future when things kind of subside with the new wave, you know, racing around, and it may be 2 weeks, it may be a month, or maybe a month and a half. I don't really like wearing masks in the committee rooms. I don't like it here in the meeting today. It's kind of awkward, and sometimes you just have to put your big boy pants on and deal with it, these issues. Make some decisions and keep people protected and get your job done. So I'm inclined to leave the current status in play. Be tested every 4 days, and I recognize that some of our colleagues, they have the constitutional right to enter this building, and they can just do what, frankly, they want, and they will, and so be it. But the vast majority of us don't operate like that, and we follow the rules. So I don't support this motion at this time, but very well may support it in the near future.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also don't support the motion. I was pleasantly surprised this morning when I went to get my test that I wasn't required to stay there for the 20 minutes. And I think that is a big change in implementation of the policy. So the inconvenience that we're asking people to do isn't as inconvenient as it used to be in last year. I was in and out within less than 5 minutes. So to assure that the health of the building here and the minor inconvenience that it presents to the individual, we side on the side of caution. The cases in Juneau are very high. Last Friday there were 242 cases. That's a staggering number for the size of this community. And for us to at this stage to let our guard down is quite foolish to me. We need to be protective of the health of the people in this building. That is our responsibility, and I would strongly advise that we at least continue with this policy until the cases in this community go down. Thank you, Minister.
Representative Clayman.
I also don't support this motion. I would just note that my daughter, who works as a nurse in a hospital, they test regularly on a similar schedule as ours. She did test positive in recent weeks and had to stop working for some period of time until she was cleared by protocols and was testing negative. And so I think it's, if healthcare workers are taking that approach, I think it's reasonable for us to keep the current policy in place. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you. I just remind folks that last year, the Senate passed a bill that would allow us to meet remotely, and that's still in House rules, and I assume because maybe the votes are not there. But as you also know, many states have decided to meet remotely if necessary, only if necessary. We don't have that. We haven't done that. And so it does concern me, what if things get worse as they are in many parts of the country and we're not able to bring together enough members to even pass a budget? So I think until we know we're out of danger and until we have any kind of remote ability to make a decision, I'd be opposed to this amendment.
Senator Ryan.
Thank you. I very much support this. There is no other state that I'm aware of, or anywhere really, that is doing every 4 days. I think that is excessive, over the top, completely unscientific and unjustified. The public is not testing and they're coming in. There is also no clinical evidence that says that COVID is stopped because of the mask. I mean, it's obvious it's spreading all over the place. Some of these mitigation efforts might slow the spread, but eventually you'll see those places that have those interventions, they massively spike.
We're talking about testing and not masks.
Thank you. So if you could keep your mark to the masking optional.
The testing.
Excuse me, testing optional.
Informed consent is required for any emergency use. So be prepared that if Beacon is doing this, they must offer the full informed consent. Emergency use cannot be mandated, and that is federal law, Title 21, USC 360BBB3E. And they cannot be mandated, so mandating these is a violation of federal law. In addition, everybody knows that these COVID tests are extraordinarily controversial. Even CDC recently pulled one. There's a great study with MIT that I sent to many members in regards to the controversy of masks, social distancing, and these PCR testing. Zinc is even pulling away from these testing. I just read a letter last night in regards to instructions to state employees. I can tell you that there's a 0.2% chance, according to a very well study that is peer-reviewed, that says people once they've had COVID, of catching COVID again. So all this to me is theater. And we are an opt-in state according to state law. We have the choice to opt in. We're all opted out of any medical intervention. And that is a legal memo from the legislative legal department that forcing these is a medical intervention. We need to know why exactly they are being pushed and have all the clinical evidence. And I would ask that question that I asked. It was not out of order. It was completely in order. Be reinstated in addition to the Dr. Zink 13 questions that I posed to Dr. Zink to show that we truly are an emergency. A couple other things is even MIT says that the masking and even the testing are not enough in regards to stopping the spreading. We are opening liability if we are having this set of state employees do this and then not another set of state employees. And last, I think this is extraordinarily cost prohibitive and over the top and completely unjustified from a scientific, from a medical, from a reasonable, and from a legal perspective. So I will absolutely be supporting this motion.
Senator Stedman.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to just remind that we have a clock ticking. Nobody here expects Senator Reinbold to do any testing. We expect her to exercise her constitutional rights and enter the building any way she wants. It's time to vote. If she has the votes, she got the votes. If not, she doesn't. And then let's move on.
And can I do a point of order?
Your point?
My point is that the testing in my medical is my. He called it out. Whether I test or not, it was between me and
at ease. Back in order. Members are ready to vote. The motion before us is to make the cycle testing changing must to may.
Representative.
Go ahead, Ms. Kiesel.
Representative Klayman.
No.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Speaker Stoops.
No.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Representative Tuck, was that a yes?
Yes.
Thank you.
I was a yes.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senate President Machicki?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Stevens?
No.
Vice Chair Reinbold?
Yes.
Chair Hammond?
No.
Four yeas, nine nays.
And with four yeas and nine nays, the motion has failed.
Madam Chair, move to adjourn.
Madam Chair, did you have another motion you wanted to quickly get through before we adjourn?
I don't believe quickly is possible, but...
I think it may be in this case.
Okay, so, but if I could get you to
withdraw the motion.
All right, Senator Machicki.
So I think we're going with the last option here on the middle option. I move that Legislative Council extend the Beacon OHSS contract through June 30th, 2022 and authorize an increase to the contract in the amount of $1 million using existing legislative capital funds.
And I'll just remind members that currently, when we met in December, we only authorized through December or February 15th. So there is no cost to us if we don't exercise it. We can change our policy at any point, and if we stop testing, there's no future financial obligation. But if we don't, then we need to meet again before February 15th. All right. That motion is before us.
Question.
Okay. Ms. Kiesel, please call the roll on the motion to extend the contract.
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stoops.
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Representative Tuck?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senate President Machicki?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold?
No.
Chair Hannon?
Yes.
11 yeas, 2 nays.
And with 11 yeas and 2 nays, the motion has passed.
Move to adjourn.
Hearing and seeing no objection, we stand in adjournment.
Your host is exiting the conference.